Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good day, all you beautiful people. Bishop Randy Dean here with you for this episode of Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. I believe lesser values than love are easily devolved into BS. That's why I'm the No BS Bishop. No bait and switch or other forms of BS. I just simply believe that love alone is credible. Love is the highest value of humankind. And because of that, love deserves so much more attention than it normally gets. And I do mean attention from the standpoint of study, reflection, meditation, contemplative designs, looking into love for what it is and what it isn't. So that's what I'm going to be with you today about, and that is to talk to you about love. And deep love is always a scary topic. It's always a deep topic, but it deserves all we've got. So we'll get there in a moment. But before we get there, if you've never been here before, we do a couple of things every No BS Bishop Alive to Love broadcast. And the first thing we do is Love's Creed. This is a creed that I wrote as a New Year's resolution about a decade ago, and it became so useful and practical for me. I've kept it in my journal. I've kept it alive in my mind. And now I'm keeping it alive with you all. So I'll read it for you in total in just a moment. And then I'll come back and then I'll read it as a set of vows for you to repeat after me. If you'd like a copy of Love's Creed, you can email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's all lowercase, all one word, Randy Dean Ministries, and I'd be happy to send you a copy. But in the meantime, I'd just like to offer it to you here live, all right? So give it a moment to savor it. Just be contemplative with this as I read it for you in total the first time through. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there it is in total. Now, I want to go back through it, and I'll offer it to you as a vow to repeat after me, okay? Here we go. You repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there you have it. Love's Creed. I hope you notice the rhythm of that. That love is this continual reference point. It's the standing point for my creed, my life, my meditation. I come back to love, and I know you are just like me. Every so often, you got to come back to love, right? So today's going to be some reflection about what it means to be involved with love. I say here very often, repeatedly, if you will, that love is not a sprint. It's not a once and for all arrival. But love is something we do as a marathon, as a pilgrimage. A pilgrimage. Somebody that I know has gone to on a pilgrimage now three times, and that pilgrimage is 500 miles long. Now, that what that means is you don't do that in 2 days. You don't do that in a month. You do it slowly, savoringly. You do it very patiently, and you take your time. So is the principle of love just like that, that we savor it day by day. We recognize that love has its seasons. Love has its opportunities to rise, and love has its moments when it falls. But we have to come back to the depth and the challenge and the rising above all lesser things to be a person of love. As I said in the creed, alive to love, alive for love, unavailable for anything less than love. So I found a quote this week that really intrigues me, and it means so much in reference to this topic, and that is, deep love is always scary. And if that's true of human love, why not divine love? That's Richard Rohr, an author and a pastor that I've fallen in love with. His books are monumental in my mind. But his quote here on love is this: deep love is always scary. And if that's true of human love, why not divine love? Now, there you have it. I think the point of divine love in our life is that it is challenging to our prejudices. We all carry some prejudice about some folks, and even a prejudice toward ourselves, where we're convinced that certainly God's love doesn't reach that in any practical manner. Now, hear what I'm saying there, in any practical manner. We might even think, well, of course God loves this brutal dictator, this brutal monster. Of course God loves them. But practically speaking, we really don't have much to think about that, do we? But deep love, and as it comes from God, deep love is always a bit scary. Can God love that deeply? Can God love that profoundly? Can God love that, you fill in the blank, that monster? And maybe not so much the monster, but can God love that betrayer? Can God love that critical, negative human being? Can God love that? Well, I think it's important to look in the mirror and then recognize that sometimes that is me. Can God love me? And if he does, and if God does love, and he does, isn't that just a bit scary? Doesn't it say something about God's love being so enormous and monumental that it sees no end in sight? It sees no challenge so great that it cannot conquer that cavern, that monster, that just that average bad person such as myself. If it's true of human love that deep love is scary, why not divine love? Now, that's Richard Rohr's quote. Now, here's what I would add to that. I say divine love is always startling, shocking, and unsettling. So to the degree that we know people that are living some lifestyle that we don't agree with, that we find abhorrent in some way, and if not abhorrent, at least we're negative toward it. We're ambivalent about them, whoever them are. I know that's bad grammar, but I hope you get my drift. Whoever they are, well, okay. But if God's love is God's love as we believe God's love to be, then I believe God's love is always startling. God's love is always shocking. You mean God loves them? And when we come to that point, it's unsettling. Deep love is always scary, Richard Rohr says. Randy says, divine love is unsettling. It's unsettling because we've developed systems and methodologies and ideals that create in our mind the reason why that human being or that group of human beings are outside of the real practical application of God's love. Oh, sure, God loves them in some broad form like he loves the whole world. Oh, sure. But practically speaking, in a detail that God loves that human being, now there's where we're unsettled. There's where it's startling and shocking to us. That's where we step back and really have to ask hard questions. Now, there's something else about this whole notion of God loving them. I'll put it in that context. Loving them, whoever them is. Again, bad grammar. I get it. But we have to see that in love, when I'm faced with my own challenge to love them as God loves them, in love, I have to remember, okay, loving them doesn't mean that I can heal them. But loving them means that I'm healing myself. I'm healing me of my awkward behavior toward any other human being. I can't always heal the people I love. In fact, if I live like that, where I say, well, I can always heal the people I love, well, I'm gonna roll down the hill, and that's a rocky, craggy, monstrous, dirty hill of codependency. I can heal them all. No, you can't. No, I can't. That's where sickness takes a hold of our psyche and our mind. We can't heal the people we love, but we can still love them. And by loving them, we heal ourselves. We can't make choices for the people we love. That's another layer of codependency. If we think we can make their choices because we love them, well, we're trapped in a codependent behavior. You can't make choices for the people you love. God can't make choices for the people God loves. And yet God continues to love at a very practical level without making their choices for them. God can't choose that they will love God back. I can't choose for people that I love that they will love me equally back. I think sometimes we have the idea that if I love people, then they will automatically find love back for me that looks like the love I'm giving. Nope, that's not how it works. And yet at the same time, it works this way, that regardless of response, my love has to stay at an ever-climbing, even step-by-step, baby step level. My love stays steady and aimed, even though I can't make choices for the people I love. I can't rescue the people I love. God can't rescue the people he loves. Oh, yes, God wants to, and God's rescue is his love. His love is steady, and it's always there. It's waiting for their response, but God will not force. He will not force himself to rescue them when they are staying at an arm's length or farther from his rescue. I can't rescue the people I love. God won't rescue the people he loves, because at the bottom of whatever pit that they're in, there's an answer for them. And it's my cliche, and that is advice we listen to, pain we obey. We say in Alcoholics Anonymous that there's a wall with an alcoholic's name written on it, that they will run into that wall. Now, in the meantime, on their headlong drive toward that wall, love remains steady from God, and it remains steady from me. It heals me to love that person while they're racing toward a brick wall. It continues, God's in no need of healing, but it continues to sustain the magnificent majesty of God's love as God loves someone as they are running toward a granite wall. And when they hit that wall, God's love is right there, within reach. But no matter what, I can't rescue the people I love. God won't rescue the people he loves until they recognize they must be rescued. And it's love that will rescue them. You can promise the people you love, though, that they will never journey alone. God promises us, no matter how far you go, even unto the ends of the earth, I'll be with you. God loves us, and he recognizes that while we journey, sometimes we journey in angry, rejecting, retributive ways. We're not going to let God love us, and so off we run. But the psalmist said, if I go to the pit, you're there. But if I rise to the pinnacle, you're there. No matter where I go, high or low, wide or far, God is there. I can't always heal the people I love. I can't make choices for the people I love. I can't rescue the people I love. But I can promise the people I love, they will not journey alone. And God's love is exactly that. That's why I model my love for it. That if someone's journey takes them to that harsh granite wall and they splatter up against it and they fall to the dusty ground below them, I'm going to follow God's love to that spot and remind whoever that is, you're not alone. That's what love will do. And again, love won't fix it. Love won't repair it without invitation. Love won't rescue without the cry for rescue. But love will be there within ears shot, eye shot, and hand reach. It's about loaning people your map when you love them. When you tell somebody that I love you, it's really giving them a map for life. This is my map. This is how I journey through the world. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping. You get it, right? To regain energy to cause pain, but I'm alive for everything that is love. Here's my map. This is how I walk my life. I'll loan you my map, but I won't force you to take the journey. Here's how the journey can be made. Here's how this road of life can be taken. And at the top of that map, it says love. But in the end, everyone that I love, everyone that God loves, has to recognize the trip is theirs to take. Not my trip to take, not my journey to take, but it'll be their journey. And in their journey, if I loan them my map, I'm promising that I'll be there, but I won't be there to take your journey for you. That's how love lives larger than codependency. That's how love lives larger than making choices for other people in spite of what they've really chosen to do. And see, and that's why I started this whole talk today with, deep love is scary. Deep love is unsettling. It's startling. It's shocking. Deep love means that, I can't interrupt your path and love for you, but I can love toward you. I will love around you. I will love as near to you as I can possibly be with appropriate boundaries, and that's a subject for another broadcast. I'll always have to have boundaries that sustain some degree of emotional and even physical safety for me, but I'm going to love no matter what. I'm going to maintain my own soul in the atmosphere and in the fresh air of love, no matter how it's received or rejected, outright hated in response. This is how love works. Love lives large, recognizing I can't make your journey for you. I can't always heal you. I can't make your choices. I can't rescue you. But I will always love you. I will always be in some form and in a proximity with boundaries. In a proximity, if you cry out for love to get toward your own health and wholeness, hi, I'm right here. Just as God will say to that person who hits that wall and goes to the ground, God will say, hello, I'm right here. Richard Rohr's quote again is, deep love is always scary. And if that's true of human love, why not divine love? It's scary to watch God love people whose determination is self-destruction. It's unsettling. It's startling. And for me, I recognize that when divine love is that risky, that determined to be available, then I'm going to have to learn that kind of love. Short of codependent misbehavior on my part. Maybe short of is a poor way to say it. A love that is larger is the better way. Larger than codependent behavior. Larger than making choices for other people or wishing I could just tell them, this is the choice you ought to make. Nope. Here's my map. Here are the choices I've made. I wish you the very best in your journey. That's how love works and lives large without being dragged through other people's lives. One of the statements I've heard about codependency is that if you're codependent and your sickness is codependency and you're about to die, somebody else's life will flash before your eyes. I don't want anybody else's life to flash before my eyes when I'm about to leave this life. I want to have a review of my life that was lived for love. No matter what others did with the love I offered, I lived for, toward, and in love for all people. Even when they ran, even when they rejected, even when they cursed my love, that didn't change my love stayed steady. It stayed as strong as I knew how to make it on any given day. Now, though our love is sometimes scary, and the love of God is scary to us when we watch God loving people that are on a self-destructive path, I want you to be reminded, though, that this is the journey. This is the pilgrimage of love. This is how love endures through all things. But I want to underscore something I probably should say every broadcast, and that is, if you're in an abusive relationship, when somebody is outright making you hurt, and I mean it's their determination to harm you, then get some boundaries between you and them. Boundaries aren't walls, but boundaries are safety nets, protecting you from physical abuse. If there's physical abuse, please, for all that's good and holy, call the authorities. Rescue yourself from physical abuse. If it's psychological abuse, please, for everything that is good in this world, get help for your own mind. Have somebody who's a pastor, a counselor, somebody somewhere, a good friend who can hear you out, who can tell you, look, you're being mentally abused. This person is psychologically torturing you. Get some boundaries in there. I always want to be sure that I'm offering people the caveat that love does not say, here I am, kick me. Love says, here I am, even when you kick me, I love you, but next time I'm going to move a little further away from your foot than I was last time. I may have to move a lot further away from your foot because you might chase me. All of that is to say, love does not open itself to abuse simply because it recognizes that I'm alive for love. No. Love says, if I have to love you from over here, I'll still love you. And if for no other person's sake but my own, I'm going to sustain love. Deep love is always scary. And if it's true of human love, why not divine love? And what I say is, divine love is always startling, shocking, and unsettling. And yet, when I recognize that there's been something shocking or startling, well, I'll be over here loving you, just as God will be over here. Yes, present, but present only when you stop the abuse. I mean present for the physical connection, when you've decided that abuse is not going to get my attention. My attention is on how I sustain my heart for love. So that's my story for today. I'm going to stick by it. I'm alive to love. Let me close today as we do every time, and that is with a couple of practices that I find are helpful to sustain this scary, unsettling journey of love. And one is taking good, deep breaths, making sure that your life is in a healthy and happy rhythm, if for no other level in your life, but then simply breathing. I think sometimes when we're angry, disappointed, we're hurt, we forget to breathe. And I don't mean just automatic breathing. I mean intentional breathing with a deep breath, a sense of settledness, to take a deep breath into the bottom of our lungs and to hold it there, if for no more than just a second. Slow our mind and our body down. All right? On the count of three, would you take a deep breath with me, please? Feet flat on the floor, sitting up as straight as you can. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. and exhale. Sometimes when you exhale, say the words, "Love lifted me." And remember a moment when love did lift you. Call to mind when love reached you. Even if for just a moment somebody was kind and loving, remember it when you exhale. Now the second exercise is really pertinent to what I'm talking about today, and that is keeping me in this direction of love. And it is about saying the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language with intention and eye contact the best way I can to say to somebody somewhere, "I love you." All right? Now, if you can't say it to somebody near you now, be ready somewhere with somebody to make eye contact and give them the opportunity for them to breathe in the startling moment of somebody saying, "I love you." I remember a time when many years ago somebody had been abusive and critical and misery-making in my life, and I had to meet them for some business, and I just heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit in me say, "When you see them, say these words, I love you." Ooh, I didn't want to say that, but it stopped both of us in our tracks long enough to shake hands and part ways. I want to challenge you to find a soul near you, and remember that somebody somewhere near you may not have heard those three charmed, holy, magical words in a long time. And how sad it would be that here we are carrying love, and somebody came within our circumference, and maybe they haven't heard those words in a very long time. Consider that next time you see somebody that's downtrodden or lonely looking or sad of face, or maybe they're happy. Whatever the case may be, it's startling, it's a little scary, but it is a reward like I've found rarely in any other short sentence. And that is to say, "I love you." Imagine me looking at you right now, saying, "Hey, child, hey, baby boy, baby girl, I love you." And so does the God that I love and has loved me back all these many years of my walking this planet. That love is unrelenting, and it will always find a way to lift us when we finally turn around and say, "Help, help, I hit the wall." All right, I've got to go. Go out and do something beautiful, folks. Ugly is getting done to death. It's time for lovers in this world to bring something beautiful to the table of life. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.